In this episode, I let you know what I did during the podcast break. I chair a fan roundtable on Bewitch's debut album. I taste test Space Raiders, and Hayley is my guest in the empty compartment.
This is 90s and Noughties UK, a podcast on UK pop culture of the 90s and 2000s. If you want to contact the show, email 90sandnoughties@gmail.com, tweet us on @90sandnoughtiesUK on Twitter, or check us out on Facebook, 90s and Noughties UK.
I don't know about anyone else, but it feels like an absolute age since I was here talking to you on the 90s and Noughties UK podcast. Yeah, so I'm back with the podcast, but in a slightly different configuration to before, but it's only temporary, dear listener. Don't worry, and you can probably hear that the sound is slightly different, because I've kitted the studio out while we were on something of a break in order to refuel and think up new ideas. I got a new microphone and a new stand and a couple of other bits and pieces, and that is what I'm talking to you on. Obviously, some of the bits in this program were recorded prior to that change. So throughout the episode, you are going to hear slight differences, but hopefully that won't put you off. So the slight difference that is only temporary is that I am releasing one episode a month in October, November, December, and then hopefully in mid to late January, I'll go back weekly, depending on how much interest there is in the podcast. So if I can get lots of people involved, then you'll start hearing us on a weekly basis once again, because I have loved actually producing these podcasts, and I've got some great stuff coming on the way that's already been recorded. And I've had some lovely comments from people, certainly on social media. We're over 100 followers on social media now, over 100 likes on Facebook, and some great guests coming up, which I very much look forward to sharing with you in the near future. So, as I alluded to previously, as I said so, we have been on something of a hiatus, which is understandable because there's so much that goes on. And it kind of reminded me of when you used to come out of school and you'd go on a half term or a school holiday or a Christmas holiday or an Easter holiday or whatever school holiday that they had. It just reminded me of a school holiday. And what we used to do, certainly in primary school back in the day, and I'm sure there are many people that did this as well, is they would come back and they'd ask you, can you write a short essay on what you did in your holiday? Basically, that's what they would say. You know, what did you do in your holiday? Write it down. Now, obviously, I'm not going to write it down for you because it's an audio podcast, and I'm not going to talk about what I've just talked about, because you know that I've kitted out the studio. I don't need to tell you that. So I thought maybe in kind of the same tradition, I would tell you about some of the 90s and naughty stuff that I have consumed, or at least their connection to the 90s and naughties during the time off of the podcast. And that is exactly what I'm going to do right now. And if you would like to join in, tweet me with a 90s or noughties TV show or music or whatever that you have consumed in the last month. Tweet us at 90s and Noughties UK on Twitter. So while I took that month's break in between producing the podcast, I've consumed a fair bit, I would say, of 90s and noughties related content. Steps, obviously, have released a new single, several new singles, all of which are absolutely fabulous. I love What the Future Holds. It's just a great track. How do they manage to come back time and time again with just music that sounds both like Steps but still current at the same time? And as is usual with me, I subscribed quite recently to Netflix, because I have a couple of times a year where I'll subscribe. I won't subscribe all year round, and I thought I'd just check out what was on there. And I recently got the opportunity to sit down and watch the spin-off, that new feature of Rocco's Modern Life, which I think was intended to be some kind of reboot. And I have to say, I haven't seen all of Rocco's Modern Life, the original Nickelodeon series, but I did love the new version, as it were. I loved that special. It had a great story. I think I was laughing and crying at the end. And what is Rocco anyway? Is he a dog? Is he a wallaby? They kept saying he was a wallaby. I'm not quite sure, but there we are. We'll have to have that debate at another stage, won't we? And lastly here, also a Netflix-related thing. I've watched a lot of the US version of Jeopardy! And I realise that this is the 90s and noughties UK podcast on UK pop culture. But I didn't know until fairly recently that Jeopardy! Had a place over here, as it were. They did broadcast the US version in the mid-90s on Sky One, alongside their own version between 95 and 96, presented by Paul Ross, the broadcaster and brother of Jonathan Ross as well. And it's a show that in the UK goes back to the early 80s and on Channel 4, and then in the early 90s on ITV, and then finally, as I say, on Sky One. And I'm quite sad, actually, that Challenge TV have not repeated any of those shows or tried to get hold of the American version hosted by Alex Trebek, because we've all seen movies, haven't we, where Jeopardy is a massive part of US pop culture. And inevitably, including Groundhog Day is the example that comes to mind, it is it's something that we've seen, actually. And Alex Trebek is an American legend, and sadly not very well recently, so I do send my best to him, who recently turned 80 years old as well. And I do recommend checking that out on Netflix, and they have had 80s and 90s editions on Netflix as well at several different times, so recommend checking it out. You'll get addicted, you know. The answer is the question rather than the answer is the answer, you know. It's kind of that type of thing. I just love game shows, and I do find myself watching Challenge a lot of the time, but they seem to be going into the early 2000s now, which I suppose, you know, is fairly vintage, and for this podcast is perfect. I'd love to tell you what my thoughts are on early 2000s Family Fortunes and Wheel of Fortune, but maybe that is for another day. So that, dear listener, is what I've been consuming while we were on a break. Well, that was an interesting experiment, although probably not something that I will try on a future edition of the podcast when we've had something of a break. But always worth a try, isn't it? New ideas. So we're about 9 minutes and 30 seconds into the podcast, and coming up later, I am joined by Hayley in the empty compartment, and we might even play a brand new game. And then in just a little while, I test that 90s and noughties lunchtime classic, Space Raiders, in a new taste test. But first, It's a Bewitched Roundtable. It's another 90s and noughties UK roundtable, and this time I've gathered together a group of fans of the band Bewitched to talk about their debut album and much more. So the first question I normally ask at this moment, thank you very much to Haley and Erica for joining us today. First question I ask is, how did you get into Bewitched?
I can remember them being on the radio at the time, well, especially when Salem V was out, and obviously with that being their debut single, it kind of just like put them on the map straight away, and obviously they kind of like blew up, didn't they? Just came out of nowhere with that debut, and obviously that it was like a massive hit for them, and that the song was everywhere at the time, and I just really liked the song.
I was 11 when they were around with Still the V, and I loved the video and the double demo style they did. It was good. And I used to copy that when I was young. And they were dancing in the video. And I was trying to copy it. Yeah.
Discovered them from Disney Channel running the video. Running the video. I'm kind of like, oh, I like this. And like Haley mentioned the dancing. And it's like, I like it. Yeah. And then I would hear it on Radio Disney and also on American Radio too. That's how I discovered
it. Yeah, I mean, we should explain that Erica is actually calling us today from the United States. So that's quite unusual. They had a massive following over there, didn't they?
Pretty good following, yeah. So at least, in my little area of the world, there wasn't a lot of other Bewitched fans, but I know we were out there, especially around the country. Yeah.
I think a lot of fans would definitely agree with you there. And if you are listening in the United States, I'm pleased to get in contact with us on that. What do we think of the first album, this debut album? What are our initial impressions of it?
I mean, I received it as a Christmas present. And I remember listening to it and just remembering how, like, upbeat it was, and it's just a really fun album, and it's just nice to put on. It's nice happy pop music, really
poppy perfection. And it was the first girl group I actually heard in a really long time that was ever kind of because for pop it was always solo, like Britney, Christina, but it was Bewitched was the girl group, and it was pop perfection. I'm not gonna lie, it was pop perfection.
I agree, because it was poppy and had a load of ballads on, which I liked. Like Your Like Rose, and Blame on the Weatherman, Passes in the Air, which was a good song. And a rocky song called We Four Girls. Enjoy that.
That's my favorite. I'm not gonna lie. That's one of my favorites off of that.
There are loads of singles on this album as well, aren't there? There's the likes of, obviously, C'est La Vie, Roller Coaster, Blame It on the Weatherman. They were quite catchy singles. Do we think that they're, like, the best on the album, or are there some fantastic album tracks? You've already mentioned Like a Rose and We Four Girls.
Rev It Up. It's pretty good.
I like Never Give Up. Always good song. And Freak Out. I love that.
That's the getting ready song. Step aside, it's in, let's freak out. Yep.
I'd say probably Let's Go the Butch Jig, and also Mr. Postman.
The opener and the closer to the album. I mean, there were a few albums in that era that did that sort of 1 minute introduction type thing. Steps was another band that did that.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I did a previous roundtable where they all said it's kind of a cheat because there's so many tracks on the album and it looks like there's more than there actually is because the first track is 1 minute. Would it have been any better without it?
I think it works because it introduces them. And it's what they would, I don't know if you guys have seen them live, but they opened their show with the first song. So it was a good...
It's nice to have that opener, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I was going to ask, did anybody see them live during this period or even since?
I've seen them in 2018. It came to my hometown, Hartlepool, and they did the Mecca Bingo, and it was 911, Escort 3, Ultimate. And they did a ABBA medley, which I enjoyed.
I saw them on the big reunion tour, which is really good. So
I'm sitting here jealous of all of you, because it's all like... I only got to see them, it may have been twice, but I know for sure when they opened for Britney Spears. It was like, wait, it's either Britney or NSYNC. Kind of runs together, but it's at the same place. But that's when I got to see them, and that's like cemented.
What was the crowd reaction like? Because if they were just the opener, sometimes people are a little bit frosty towards the support act.
I remember, because it was this kind of buzz in the air, like, oh, we're so excited. Like, and it was them and Steps and one other group, but everybody else kind of around me was kind of like, I got the feeling of people are like, oh, they're good, they're cute. Oh, this is this when they did Say Love You. They're like, oh, okay, that's who we know who they are. But I'm sitting there like, yeah, vocals. All of this is like, you know, the whole music. So, and then their album came out after I saw them. The album came out here after I saw them live. So it's like, I'm having, listening to it, I'm having those moments of like, oh, this is that moment and that the jig's coming in. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm the one person here who hasn't seen them live, because I saw the other big reunion tour where it was just boy bands. What was it like, Hayley? Because obviously that was after so long when they split up and then got back together again for that program and subsequently that tour. There was quite an excitement in the air for that, wasn't there?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it was great. I mean, they've still got it. They've still just got that happiness, that bounciness, you know what I mean? They're a band that just get the crowd going. They're just fun, and it's just nice to have a fun girl band like that.
Yeah, I think so. And the harmonies are always quite crisp, aren't they?
Definitely, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Because that's the thing, even when they've recorded new material, it's still those harmonies and the voices that are instantly recognisable, and that makes for a good band.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, this album, I listened to it this afternoon. It's the first time in a long time, and I was taken aback somewhat because I felt it lost its way a little bit in the middle, almost like they were trying other things in preparation for later, because I don't know how many of you have heard the second album, but that is quite a shift away from the poppiness of the first album.
Yeah, I second that, because I remember when obviously they released Jesse Hold On, and I mean, it is, you're right, completely different, isn't it? Completely.
But then you can also think about how it's like, okay, let's change it up for the next album, because that's what a lot of groups were doing, we're changing it. But with, I think you take it as a journey, because it starts, and it starts like really super poppy, and then they try a whole bunch of stuff with the kind of semi-metal with 3-4 Girls, and then it's just amazing ballads, kind of just are, I guess, airy, be a nice word, to kind of mix in, and then towards the end. But I'm not gonna lie, I haven't listened to the second album all the way through in a while, so it's kind of like, but I just noticed that, I wouldn't say it was a prep, it's just kind of a normal change that happens when you are in a group and like, let's try something different for the second album. Let's change it up. Let's see if we can do it. But then also I only heard Mickey, and because they released a bunch of stuff through the soundtracks, through various soundtracks. So when they were, I thought it was all going to be Mickey, and it wasn't even released on the second album, but.
I like the Wake and Breathe album. And I like songs like The Shy One and Leaves. I think KV's done a brilliant job on that song. Yeah. And Jump Down.
I have to say, and Bewitch fans will not like me for this, but I actually prefer that second album because I prefer the kind of maturity of it. But the first album is just fun, really, from beginning to end. I mean, C'est La Vie is like a perfect opener. And in very much the same way as the jig, it's sort of an introduction to their persona and the idea and the video. I mean, what do we guys think of the video to that? It really stands out, doesn't it? There's a lot of green.
Okay, I have something before I forget. Did you guys get the edited version of the song? Because it was the video, but they would, because it was Disney, they cut out the allusion to playing house kind of part, like I'll be the king, you'll be the queen, show me mine, show me yours. They cut that line out on Disney. And it's like, it's a tree. And when you're little, it's like, oh, look, they're talking about sharing tree houses. So did you guys actually hear the original?
We did, yeah.
The first time around? Okay. It wasn't until I got the CD single that I heard the original. I'm all like, why did they edit? Why did Disney change it? And it takes a minute. It's like, oh, okay. I get it. That's why they keep saying, I'll be the king, you be the queen. I got it. But yeah. And it's funny because they just, the video's the same, they just changed the audio that little bit. So it's like, you have that kind of moment of, fits, doesn't fit? But yeah. But it was really bright and green and amazing. And made you think of the I don't want to say stereotype of Ireland, but they think, oh, it's all green and lush and Irish Springs kind of stuff. I think that's maybe what they were going for. I don't know. With you guys.
Yeah, I think they were. What do you think, Hayley?
I think you just think of, when you think of the video, you just think of flowers, green, and double denim, don't you? That's pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. So do we think that the album overall is like the definitive Bewitched album, or do we think there's something better out there? Is the second album better than the first? Is it like the first album is like the must listen, or is there something better?
Well, to me, I prefer the Wake and Brave one. What's it got good songs on? Yeah, like Leaves and Jump Down, and Red Indian Girl. I love that song.
I like both, but I prefer the first just because it's just an introduction to them and they're the band and what they're all about. But the second, it's nice to have that mature side to them as well that you can appreciate.
I think I'll go with Hayley and just be like, yeah, the first one is a good intro. But then I can always just say the greatest hits. Just if all else fails, go with the greatest hits because they mix everything in and you can figure out what you like. And but if you force me to be like, yeah, the first album, it gives you the introduction.
As long as you don't get the Disney edit of C'est la vie, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So lastly here, we'll round off. Just give me your favourite song from this first album. So here we've got obviously the Bewitched jig. We've got C'est la vie, Rev It Up, To You I Belong, Roller Coaster, Blame It on the Weatherman, We Four Girls, Castles in the Air, Freak Out, Like the Rose, Never Giving Up, and Oh Mr. Postman. Which song from that is like your favourite or the one that you would recommend to others?
Sailor Bee, definitely. But then I do like Blame It on the Weatherman as well, because I think it's a little bit underrated. But then, and then the video is great. I just love the video for Blame It on the Weatherman as well. So
We Four Girls. It's a standout track. I love it. It's very rocky. Yeah.
Yeah, Rick says everybody else kind of first picked it. I'm going to go with, like, the one I truly love and will always listen to. I don't always skip Mr. Blame, Mr. Postman. Even if all else fails, I'll just turn that on because it's a nice kind of journey to go through. It's sweet and mellow and, oh, yeah. I'm going to go turn it on after this.
Yeah. This is really interesting to me because this is the first time I've done one of these roundtables and no one has agreed on like their favorite track on the album. We've got three different choices. Although, for me, I would have gone for Roller Coaster I think. I like Roller Coaster. That kind of reminds me of those kind of days of the late 90s. Reminds me of my childhood, very much like C'est la Vie, and even Blame It on the Weatherman. So, yeah, I'll go with Roller Coaster.
I think they all have their merits, and they're all really good. So it's just kind of like, what are you feeling at that moment? Like, what's the one song at that moment that's your favorite? I'm like, yeah, Blame It. Mr. Bill Smith, yeah.
I do love Roller Coaster as well. That's up there. So,
yeah, well, fantastic. Well, I'll bring this to a close here, but thank you so much to all three of you for joining us today for this this roundtable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And once again, thank you to the participants of that Bewitched fan roundtable. And if you'd like to take part in a future edition of the podcast, whatever feature it may be, then please email 90sandnoughties@gmail.com. That's 90sandnoughties@gmail.com. And now I present to you a brand new feature. It's something I've been wanting to do for a little while. And if you go onto YouTube, you'll be able to see a video version of the audio that you're about to hear. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the 90s and Noughties taste test. Yeah. It's a 90s and Noughties taste test where I take a look at a food that was popular in the 90s or 2000s, and it's either something that I've never tried before or have memories of but haven't had for a long time. And this time, it is the turn of the very popular lunchbox treat, Space Raiders. So I can go out now and say that I've never had Space Raiders before. I don't think I have, because it's not something that I had in my lunchbox. I had school dinners for a little while and then just had boring things, you know, like ready salted and, cheese and onion and that sort of thing. So Space Raiders are something that's passed me by. And I think as well, this rather weird image on the front used to scare me slightly. Now, this is the original pickled onion flavour, and these are originally bought. We haven't got any weird stuff here. This isn't a packet from 1992. This is a modern day packet. So the recipe may have changed over time. So I might never know what Space Raiders used to taste like back in the day, but I'm about to find out now. So let's open up. This is pickled onion flavour, so let's have a smell first, shall we? Oh, yeah. Oh, I can smell the onion. I can definitely smell the onion. That's definitely corn. Can smell that. I love corn snacks. Isn't that funny? It's sort of got that What's It vibe going on. And, of course, as you well know, if you are a Space Raider fiend yourself, you will know that there are little faces on it, little alien heads. Perfect for Halloween. So let's try this, shall we? Let's have a look. Where do we start? Do we start with the eyes, the mouth, or do we just put it all in? I'll put it all in. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Yeah. That's really strong onion. That's proper pickled onion right there. Wow. That's just one, and that's a really strong flavour. I mean, the onion is at the back of my throat. It's sort of going from the front into the back. I think it's going to be there for some while now. So, yeah, let's try this. Because what you find is you get that first flavour, and then after a while, you get used to it. And like I said, I've never had these before, so this is completely new to me. Mmm. Right. I don't know whether you can hear it, because we're filming it, we've got it in audio form. I'm just going to pick up the mic and try and get this crunching sound, because I want you to hear what it is I'm hearing. So if I pick it up very gently, so you can hear me, hello there, and we'll just go around so the camera can see you. We have a Space Raider. Listen to this crunch, right? Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's really crunchy. So let's put that back down there. So what are my thoughts on these? Well, they're very pickly, certainly, and I shouldn't have been frightened of the head. This packaging used to scare me. I shouldn't have been frightened of it. And I wouldn't mind trying one of the other flavours, but if it's as pungent as this one, perhaps not. Quite why they chose pickled onion, who knows? Maybe they thought it was like out there or something. But yeah, and the one thing I notice here, looking in this bag, is I don't know how big this bag is. So it says here each 11.8 gram pack. So it's not a very big bag. And so really, you've got, say, maybe 8 in there, which is not many at all. I suppose it's perfect for a kid's lunchbox, but not necessarily if you want to fill yourself up. It's not your lunch on its own. So yeah, what I think of these is I quite like them, actually. It's a bit strong. I think I'd prefer one of the other flavours, but not bad. So on the would I try it again? Yeah, probably so. And for this, I'll give it a rating of 4 out of 5. So from me, Jamie Dyer, on this taste test, it's bye-bye for now.
It's been some time since I recorded that, but I think I can still taste those Space Raiders. Nah, I kid, because actually I've become quite a fan of those since I tried them, and I've still got a few packets from the multi-pack that I purchased recently. And if you enjoyed that, then there are more on the way, and I decided to do them because I wanted something a little bit different for the podcast, and also there were loads of things that I thought, well, I've never tried before, so it gives me an opportunity to do that. And I'll only be doing those taste tests towards the end of the year during these monthly periods. So don't worry, if you didn't enjoy them, they won't be part of the regular weekly shows, which resume in January. So there we go. Your mind is put at ease. I personally enjoyed them. And like I say, you can go onto the 90s and Noughties UK YouTube channel to check out a video version to see my facial reactions and stuff. And I'll be doing that with all of those in the future. And generally, more video stuff on there as well than just that, including episodes of The Empty Compartment. Speaking of which, now it's time for The Empty Compartment, and my guest this time is roundtable and podcast regular Hayley, who joins me once again. 3 questions and 1 guest, which is Hayley, and I will start and say, well, Hayley, I have been thinking over the past few weeks or so, since we last spoke, what was the first CD single that you bought?
I actually bought myself, or was given as a gift, because I've got 2 answers.
Give us both of those answers.
Yeah, sure. So the first one ever, which was bought for me, was 2 Unlimited, No Limit.
Yeah.
And the first one I actually bought, and I actually remember going into Alf Ice, if anyone remembers Alf Ice back in the day, and that was Babylon Zoo, Spaceman. On cassette as well. It's like really rich.
I mean, Spaceman was such a disappointment, wasn't it?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Like from the Levi advert and everything. I just think the video was so cool. I was just like, yeah, I really liked it, you know?
The thing that disappointed me about Babylon Zoo, though, was they did that. Was it Arthur Baker who did the remix? And they did the remix, and then suddenly, about a minute in, ew, and it turns into this grungy thing, and it was kind of disappointing.
Oh, I don't know. There's just something about it at the time. I know where you're coming from. I can see what you mean. Fair point, fair enough, fair dues. But No, I just think I'd like this egg to it. And I just like the way it like changed. And like I said, the video was cool and the visuals and stuff like that. But I just, I think actually when I first heard it, I wasn't overly keen on it. And that another example is that is Cher, Believe, because I wasn't keen on that when I first heard it either. But like they both grew on me, but especially Spaceman, just when it when it was out, I can remember watching the chart show on ITV, what they used to put on Saturday mornings at like 11-ish or something, like half 11 or something, and them doing the countdown, it being like number one, and I was like, I thought it was great, and like the video and stuff, and like I said, going out and getting a single and whatnot. I just, yeah, it's just cool at the time. So, but I can see what you mean. It's not everyone's cup of tea. So
no, but Two Unlimited is an amazing. That's an amazing.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Record.
I wish that I bought that. My mum, I can remember my mum buying it for me as well, and I was like, because I still love that song now, it's a bit, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, so I'm going to answer my own question here. So from memory, I think my first single I was ever bought was probably Robson and Jerome, What Becomes of the Broken Hearted, and then I think the first single that I bought myself, and I think it was because, funnily enough, you mentioned our price. I think I had a voucher from Virgin for like £5 or something, which, of course, in those days would basically buy you a CD single.
So it would, yeah.
I think I just bought the Tweenies, number one.
Oh, that's so cute. I just love the dog from the Tweenies. So cute.
Yeah. I think, what was I? Was I about 9 or 10 at the time?
Oh,
so, to be honest, you know, I was probably just trying to get rid of the voucher because £5, what can you do with £5? No, I'm just very grateful, but, you know, that's the first one I remember. It might have been before that. I might have bought one before that because as a kid, the CD single was always the one that people bought you and it had like one song on it. You know, or a couple of songs, maybe a remix or an instrumental, because one of the other first ones that I got was Tragedy by Steps.
Brilliant, amazing song. Love it.
Yeah. Which again was brilliant. And sadly, I didn't keep all of them. I remember giving away my copy of A Different Beat by Boyzone. It was bought for me at the same time as I want to say Dunblane, the charity single.
Yeah.
Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
And I think I kept that one and I gave away A Different Beat. But the problem was it had a song on it, because I didn't become a Boyzone fan until a lot later. Mm-hmm. And it had a song on it that you couldn't get anywhere else. So I think the person I'd given it to had got rid of it maybe a few years after. And I'm like, but where's that song? You know? And I think I had it recorded onto a cassette or something. Okay. And I just wore the cassette out. But it was like, why did I give away that single? I think it's on a compilation or something now. But, you know, which they're going to over time with records like that. But, yeah, that's interesting. So Two Unlimited and Babylon Zoo. And, of course,
they are quite different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, could you say that? Well, I suppose Robson and Jerome were always seen as kind of a novelty act. I loved the gospel element to it, and that version in particular was great. I enjoyed that track immensely, and that had 3 songs on it. It had that one, Saturday Night at the Movies, and You'll Never Walk Alone. So they were all covers of vintage songs, as was their thing. But they're still kind of novelty, like the Tweenies. Most people would put those into. Yeah, I know.
I think it's cool though.
It is cool. Yeah. It was a staple on my radio show for years because, you know, one of the first singles that I ever bought. Yeah. So yeah.
I think it's great that you admitted it. So yeah, fair play. Hats off to you. So.
No, thank you. The listener can't see I've gone red. I think I have. I haven't got a mirror, but I think I've gone red. Yeah, so let's move on to the next question. And now it is Hayley's turn to do so.
In regards to cartoons in the 90s, what ones did you watch and what was your favourite? Did you have ones that stood out in particular?
Oh, ones that stood out. So I was a massive animation fan, but predominantly vintage animation. But so it was a lot of things like Looney Tunes and all that sort of thing. And whenever they did a spin-off like Sylvester and Tweety Mysteries or that type of thing, sort of mid-90s. And I remember being slightly obsessed over Garfield for some reason.
I love, especially the original. Well, yeah. I didn't get the new one. The original, you can't beat it. You really can't. So.
No, because the original used to be on Netflix, and I was quite excited about that. But now it's just that weird new one, doesn't have the same vibe to me.
No, it doesn't.
So, yeah, and I also remember being slightly... There's a couple that spring to mind. One of them was one called Walter Mellon. I was a very big CITV fan at that time, and they used to play a lot of stuff that was on Fox Kids on Sky,
okay,
if you remember that. Yeah. So they'd have all these weird...
I remember Fox Kids. Yeah, that is going back.
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah.
What about you?
I was predominantly Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network. They were like my two favourite channels. Just so, where do I start really? So after list them all off now, Rugrats, Rocko's Modern Life, Ren and Stimpy, Real Monsters, Angry Beavers, Hey Arnold, Doug, and Dexter's Laboratory, Powerpuff Girls, Cow and Chicken.
I mean, you're reeling off my childhood here.
I could go on about it all day. I loved them all of them. So, and I'll say now, out of like, because we were just talking about the reboot of Garfield, I will say the new Powerpuff Girls was decent. I've hated all the other reboots, but Powerpuff Girls, it was actually good. You know, it's the only one that I've watched as a reboot. I'm concerned because I've heard that Ren and Stimpy is going to get a reboot. Comedy Central apparently going to do it, and I'm like, should they go there? Shouldn't they go there? I'm kind of like, worried what the outcome's going to be? But I'm happy to see what it's like. But what I will say, I don't know if you know, on Netflix at the moment, there's it's been on there for a while. There's a new Rocko's Modern Life. It's like a feature length, like a little, sort of like a film, but like a, you know, an extended episode. And that was really decent.
Oh, I loved it.
I loved it.
That
as well.
was great. Absolutely great. I'm not a dog. I'm a wallaby. It's great.
Love it.
Just extremely. Yeah. I mean, I don't think my wife had ever seen it before. So suddenly we're watching this thing and it's just, it was aimed at kids originally, but you wonder how they got away with it.
Oh, I know. Well, it's like Ren and Stimpy. I mean, so, really, it's just like, I love the cult side of those cartoons. It's because they are cult, aren't they? Mm-hmm. That's what it's like. And like, if they were put on TV now, they'd probably put them like on an even slot on like Comedy Central or something like that. Because that's where they would fit in more than being on like a kids channel these days, you know?
Yeah, but then a lot of those shows were written and created by people who went on to do adult cartoons. I mean, if you remember Johnny Bravo.
I love Johnny. That's another one.
The list of people that worked on there, they went on to do like a Family Guy, American Dad, all of those types of things. And you can see it encapsulated in this really strange thing where it's not really for children. And it's funny, I was going to throw Recess in there, but it doesn't. I don't feel like it almost deserves to be in there because that was relatively kiddie in comparison to Nickelodeon and some of the Cartoon Network originals.
It was. I will touch on Disney though, because obviously Nickelodeon originally made Doug and then it was taken over by Disney. I actually prefer the Nickelodeon version than the Disney version of Doug. But in regards to the Disney Channel, I actually watched Recess, as you've mentioned, Peppa Ann is another one, and also 101 Dalmatians. I actually used to watch that quite a bit as well.
I know. And what's really, I mean, I'm a Disney Plus subscriber at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they have all of these shows, except in America, for some reason, I'm going to go a little bit American shock jock here, but why do they get to have Tailspin and 101 Dalmatians, the animated series, and we don't get to have
exactly,
that?
Which we don't get to enjoy. But I will add that Chippendale Rescue Rangers is on there, and that makes me happy that that's on there. And DuckTales, I mean, come on, it's just like, it's great.
I mean, Chippendale, they're making a movie. Making a live action movie with the original cast, I hope they get that right. I hope they do. And I must point out here that on Twitter recently, on the 90s and noughties Twitter account, I did ask for people's favorite, and I did like a vote of like their favorite Disney animated show, and I think Chippendale was on there, DuckTales was on there, and there was probably another one like Darkwing Duck or something like that. And somebody replied, what kind of choice is that? That's way too difficult. Because they were all of a very similar high quality, even when you watch them now as an adult. And I feel that I need to put a stop to this question here, because we could talk about this for a long time.
Just one more mention, I want to just mention Gummy Bears, because that was up there. So, and one of the best theme tunes ever. I love that theme tune.
I mean, it's funny you mentioned theme tunes, because the third question comes from Fred, who asks, what was your favourite theme tune of the 90s and noughties? And the thing is, this could encompass so many different theme tunes. I mean, actually, I'll give a couple of ones that have sprung to my head, and then I'll let Hayley go there. So I'm thinking of that weird theme tune for Biker Grove, if you can call it that.
Yeah.
And obviously the new one that they did for Grange Hill, which wasn't the da-da-da-da one of the 70s, but it was that weird one that sounded almost like Animal Hospital or something like that. It was very, very strange. What theme tunes spring to mind, Hayley?
It's got to be, for me, like Animaniacs, Tiny Toon Adventures, and then obviously as part of that, Pinky and the Brain. Really, I mean, they were so catchy, and it's just, they're still great now. And obviously Gummy Bears, as I mentioned, but
they were so,
I mean, great. The cartoon ones were, they really were, and they're memorable. You know, you still get them stuck in your head now, they're earworms. So,
Animaniacs was almost like the last of that generation of shows where the opening titles were part of the program, in the same way as you always watch The Simpsons because something differed in each one. You never muted the opening titles because you always wanted to see Maggie go past the checkout and Homer catch whatever and Bart skate past whatever, because they had little gags in there that you could freeze frame on your TV if you had a VHS recorder, and they'd have the couch gag. And Animaniacs was almost up there with that, because it builds it up to such a level, and there's very few shows now that do that. I mean, I have my own modern day contenders for personal reasons, but there's not many.
No, I'm a couple more I can remember, whether you're, because I know one of them was like mid to late 80s, Rude Dog and the Jeeps, if you remember Rude Dog and the Jeeps, and another one was Inspector Gadget as well.
Yes. Famously covered later on by Five, obviously, for the movie that didn't end up being put in or something.
I mean, again, all the new stuff. And I know they did a reboot of Inspector Gadget. I'm not even going to go there, because you can't even touch the original. No way.
No, it's reboot central. Reboot central. Although Static Kling, as we mentioned, is all
yes. Right. That's it. Everyone has to check out Static Kling and Powerpuff Girls new version. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to do that. I didn't mind the original, but personally, you know, I'm one of those, if I liked a program, I'll watch it again. If I just thought, it was the time, I'll just leave it where it is. Some things are like that. You're like, I don't want to spoil my memory of it, but you always end up doing it on a Tuesday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, don't you? You can't help it. You see it on Netflix or Amazon or you can't help it. It turns up. Anyway, Thank you very much, Fred, for submitting that question. And thank you, Hayley, for appearing on this edition of The Empty Compartment.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Jamie.
And now it's time for a new feature on the 90s and Noughties UK podcast. It's Celebrity Birthdays, which is very heavily inspired by two people that I know over at The Point in the USA. They run a small station over there, a small talk station, and every day they do this morning show, Mornings with Kev and Brian, Kevin Cohen and Brian Leonard. And they do this thing called Celebrity Birthdays, where it's yes or no questions for a birthday, celebrity birthday that's happening that day. They kind of do it with each other. And I've got Hayley with me once again to play this game. So I hope you don't mind, Kevin, Brian, me using this feature. But I thought it was interesting and it works within the ethos of the podcast. So obviously, with the subject of the podcast, it is 90s and noughties related celebrities who are celebrating a birthday on the week of this episode. So in this particular instance, it's the week of the 26th of October, 2020. So this person is celebrating their birthday this week. And Hayley, you can start the questioning.
Thank you. I'll try my best. I can't promise I'm going to be really good at this, but I'll try. Thank you. Are they male or female, Jamie?
Oh, they've got to be yes or no question.
Oh, damn it. Are they male?
Yes.
Are they an actor?
No.
Are they a singer?
No.
Oh, I'm really stuck. Oh. This isn't going to get... Are they a comedian?
No.
This is a good start there.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to crack this early.
Oh.
So...
Are they a politician?
No.
Okay.
No, I can tell you. I'll give you a clue because I can tell you're struggling slightly. They are in the media.
This would... I can't think of anything. A random question. They're not a newsreader, are they?
No, they're not a newsreader.
Oh, God. I told you I'd be useless with it. Oh, God.
Okay. Would you like me to give you a tiny clue?
Okay, go
okay.
For it.
Okay. They are involved in a TV show.
But they're not an actor.
No.
Oh. Sort of one. Have they starred in reality TV?
Not that I know of, although what they do could almost be described as reality television, but in an old sense.
I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this. I don't think it's really going to narrow it down anyway, but I'll try.
Okay.
Were they around in... As in, like, were they on TV or whatever it is in the noughties?
Yes. Yes, they were.
Okay. Were they on TV in the 90s?
Yes.
Oh, so that doesn't even have a time to
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Okay. Oh. So there were reality television. I can tell you, because I can tell you're not going to ask this question, they are a TV presenter.
Right, okay. So yeah, they're in the media. Are they part of a TV duo?
No.
So that's
No. And can I say that you are allowed to ask, obviously, about their current age, which might help you work out exactly where it lies.
Yes, please may I ask how old they are?
Okay, so as of the day in question, they will be turning 69 years old.
Oh. I just can't think of anyone. matched that. Oh.
Well, I think you almost need to narrow it down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Further.
Were they on what kind of TV were they on? Were they on kids' TV, like back in the day?
Nope.
Oh. I can see when you did a test one of this, it didn't go very well.
I'll give you another clue. At various times, so in the 90s, they were on BBC television, and in the noughties, they were on Channel 5.
Oh, kind of. Well, I only used to watch Channel 5 back in the day. I watch it more now. I'm like, mostly when Channel 5 first started, and the signal was always rubbish on the TV.
And the...
that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. But let's see. So they used to present something on the BBC, starting in 1987 going on around until 2001, and at which point they switched sides to present a very similarly named show on Channel 5 with a bunch of their contemporaries.
Just trying to think. So the show, it wasn't the same show, it was a similar show that was on.
It was a similar show, yes. Channel 5 wanted it and the BBC said no. So they made their own version with presenters from said show.
Oh, I just can't think of anything that was... All I'm thinking of was Big Brother, because that was on Channel 4 and it went over Channel 5. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you asked if they were in a duo earlier. If I was to tell you that the show that they were on, they went over to Channel 5, but the show carried on with a trio.
Still not. I can't picture.
Who now work for Amazon.
No.
One of them now presents Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. This trio that fronted the show that this man used to front.
What's the program? It's the only thing I can think of. Because if I've got the program sort of right, which I don't think I have, but then I've got to think of the names of the presenters, which is going to be fun. Was the program on BBC to do with cars?
Yes.
If it is what I think it is, I didn't even know it changed. Was it Top Gear?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it's changed. Oh, yeah. Now I've thought of someone, but I don't think it's who I thought it was, because because they're way too young, and all I can think of is someone that was in Friends that did Top Gear. That's all I'm thinking of.
You're thinking of Matt LeBlanc, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't think of anyone else's names that I can picture them, but I can't.
Would you like to surrender now?
Yeah, but I know, as soon as you say, I'll be like,
okay. So
total mind blank. Yeah.
So I'll talk you through where we are. So you've said Top Gear, and I said that it started a long time ago and changed over in 2001, at which point it split, and some of the old presenters went over to Channel 5 to create a show called Fifth Gear.
First I've ever heard of that. Sorry, Jamie.
With Quentin Wilson and Vicky Butler Henderson and this man in question. And just to clear off what we were saying, the trio that continued in the end on Top Gear were Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Richard Hammond. And the person in question is the race driver and TV presenter, Tiff Nadell.
I wouldn't have been able to get that, I would have been there all night trying to guess that song that you told me. We would have been here all night long.
That's all right. That's quite a hard one. That's quite a hard one. And I'd like to tell listeners the reason I chose that one, because I looked over a list of the birthdays from this particular week and I thought, that is never going to be mentioned on any other, apart from like car podcasts or automotive or anything like that. It's never going to be mentioned on any nostalgia podcasts. No Americans are going to be like, Top Gear with Tiff Nadell. Like, no one's ever going to kind of talk about it. So I thought that was completely left field. I'm sorry it was so hard. It's the first one that you've done.
That's all right. It's fun, but I'm kind of glad you gave me some clues as well. Like I said, you had to help me because I actually would have been there when I was trying to guess that. We were
Excellent. Well, happy birthday, Tiff Nadell, who turns
birthday!
Yeah, he turns 69 this week, on the 29th, to be exact. And that is today's celebrity birthdays. And now it's time to say goodbye, but I'd like to say thank you very much for listening. I've been Jamie Dyer, and I shall see you next month for the November edition of the 90s and Noughties UK podcast. From me, bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening to 90s and Noughties UK, a podcast on UK pop culture of the 90s and 2000s. Please remember to rate, comment and subscribe on your favourite podcast provider. If you want to contact the show, email 90sandnoughties@gmail.com, tweet us on @90sandnoughtiesUK on Twitter, or check us out on Facebook, 90s and Noughties UK.